Now, if we can get Tamara to do Lionel that way next week, we'll be. You know, a moment ago, Tonda recognized those of you that were here that served. And then when she was reading off the names, she said Dad and Uncle. And you know, if we think about it, probably everybody in this room had a husband, a son, a dad, a cousin that served. You know, my dad didn't serve because of some physical abilities that he flunked out, the physical. But I understand that. But I had uncles and cousins and many others that have served. And we need to know that we're blessed. And here, as we think about Memorial Day, I mentioned to Jeff, talking to him earlier, we need to keep alive the memory of what American history is about. If I mentioned Valley Forge, Washington crossing the Delaware, the Alamo, Omaha Beach and D-Day, Pearl Harbor, we ought to know what those are all about. And let me say something to you, parents and grandparents. You need to make sure your kids and grandkids know it, because they're not going to get some of it in school anymore. Two things that came in on my wife's Facebook this week. One that said whenever the Allies went into those death camps, those concentration camps, General Eisenhower said to the photographers, go in and document everything you can, because there will come a time when people deny that it happened and they need to see the pictures. And we're in that generation of people that say it didn't happen. And another thing that came in on her Facebook this week was that in England they're thinking about passing a law that so that they don't teach the Holocaust anymore because it offends the Muslims. Folks, we need to make sure that our kids and grandkids know the price of freedom. Know what we've been through. Know the sacrifices that have been made. Know the heroes of our history. So that some time, and not only that they know it, but encourage them to pass it on when they have kids and grandkids. Because it's so easy to forget, and we're going to look at that in just a moment, in the Bible, about what God has done in our nation and for our nation. As I was thinking about memorials, I got to thinking about some Bible memorials. And let's look at some of these, because I think they're going to teach us something. First, go to Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28. You remember the story, Jacob conspired with his mama to cheat his brother Esau. Isaac knew that he was at the end of his life. He was about to transfer the family blessing. And he says to Esau, who was the oldest, go out and kill me something to eat and come back and feed me and I'll bless you. Instead, Jacob put on some of Isaac's clothes, put some fur around his hands and neck so that when Isaac touched him, because Isaac was blind, and he said, I'm the one, and he got the blessing. Well, when Esau came in and saw what was going to happen, he said, I'm going to kill my brother. And so Jacob fled. And you know that story, and when you get to Genesis 28, verse 10, Jacob went up out from Beersheba, went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. He took of the stones of that place and put them for pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to the heaven. Behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And then you know the rest of the story. And then verse 18, and Jacob rose up early in the morning, took the stone that he had put for his pillows, and set it up for a pillar, and poured oil upon it, the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. The name of the city was called Luz at the first. Bethel means house of God. You see, Jacob had an encounter with God that night. He's running for his life. He has an encounter with God. And the next morning, realizing what has happened, he takes the stone that he had slept on and sets it up sort of just like we would a tombstone. Set it up as a pillar, a remembrance stone. He anointed it with oil and said, this is going to be a special place that I'm going to always remember. And when you get on further in Genesis, you find that Jacob came back to that very same place. It was a stone of remembrance so that Jacob would never forget, here I met God, here I had an encounter with God. Now, turn with me over to 1 Samuel chapter 7. 1 Samuel chapter 7. And we'll start at verse 11. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came into Bethcar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hither hath the Lord helped us. So the Philistines were subdued and they came no more into the coast of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. Now, the next time you're in some trivia thing and they say, what's that Ebenezer stone? You remember the song? Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Anybody remember that? Y'all sing that song? It's right there in your Baptist, or usually in the Baptist hymnal. That's a part of the verse. You see, there was a great victory over the Philistines. And Samuel says, we got to remember this because God gave us this victory. And so Samuel sets up this stone as a place of remembrance. A place of remembrance. So that when they go by, they say, right there, we met God. Right there, God's presence was felt. Right there, God's victory came. Right there, God made the difference. Now go with me back to the book of Joshua, chapter 4. And this is when they're crossing the Jordan River. About to finally, after 40-something years, going into the promised land. Joshua chapter 4, verse 1. And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man. Command you them, saying, take you thence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. So shall you carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe of man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God unto the midst of Jordan. Take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign in you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, what mean ye by these stones? Then you shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off from before the ark of the covenant of God when it passed over Jordan. And the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. God gave them, you know, God parted the Jordan River. And the priest stood in the middle of the river, and the people passed over, and then they went into the river, one man from every tribe, and they picked up a rock. Now, it had to be pretty big if they're going to put it on their shoulder. It wasn't, you know, baseball size, softball size. It had to be pretty big. And so they took these 12 rocks and they formed them into some type of pyramid or pile in some way. And they said, remember this. And did you catch that? Every time your children say, Dad, what's that pile of stones mean? You tell them it's a place where God blessed, God intervened, God showed his power, God parted the sea or the river that we could pass over. It was a teaching tool for generations to come. It was supposed to be there forever. To be a teaching tool for all the children of Israel. Now go with me over to Joshua 24. Joshua 24. Verse 24, Joshua 24, 24. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, his voice shall we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute as ordinance in Shechem. Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which ye spake unto us, and it shall be a witness unto you, lest you deny your God. And the last, and then verse 31, Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, which had known all the works of the Lord and that he had done for Israel. Joshua is coming to the end of his life. He gathers the people together, and if you remember the story, he says, Today, choose whom you're going to serve. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, but you can serve whoever you please. And they said, hey, we're going to serve the Lord. The whole nation said, we are going to serve the Lord. And so Joshua wrote it down. And he also set up a stone pillar there under an oak. And he said, this stone has heard your declaration of faith. It's going to be a testimony. Every time you walk by, it's going to say to you, we covenanted, we committed, we promised to serve the Lord. And it says that the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the people that outlived Joshua, who had served with Joshua. But then turn over to Judges. Judges chapter 2. Verse 10. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. There arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. Somebody dropped the ball. Here it says, you know, all the days of Joshua they served the Lord. Those who were in leadership with Joshua, they served the Lord. But after they all passed away, there came a generation, what does it say? They didn't know the Lord. They didn't know the things the Lord had done. And they did evil and served Baal. Now here's where we are, folks. What kind of memorials are we passing on to our children and our grandchildren? Do they know? Do they know the great things of the Lord? Do they? Do we just hope they'll get a taste of our faith by osmosis? Or do we share? You know, this could be almost a continuation from what I shared last week. You know, Paul talks about the unfeigned, the genuine, the real, true faith that was in Timothy, that was in his mom, that was in his grandmother. Do you have those memorial markers in your own life? Can you think about times and places when you had an encounter with God? If I could suddenly, you know, do one of those beam me over Scotty things to West Albemarle Baptist Church, I could show you the pew I was sitting in 50, 60 some years ago. 60, when I walked out and said publicly, I'd already been talking for several months about accepting the Lord, but I could show you the pew I was sitting in when I walked out and said, I want to give my heart to Jesus. Can you think about those times in your life when you had special encounters with God? Do you have some kind of record of that? Are you sharing that with those younger than you? Whether, and you know, you may not have kids or grandkids. It may be with nieces and nephews. If we don't, years ago I heard the expression, Christianity is one generation from extinction. I didn't read the article because just the first couple of sentences made me sick. This morning in the paper, Southern Baptist lost another 170-some thousand members last, I believe 176,000 members last year, and baptisms dropped another so many thousand. Terrible. Population's going up and we're doing less. Something is wrong, folks. I may force myself to go back and read the rest of the article this afternoon, but you know, you can't leave it to the schools to teach either the total truth of American history, and you sure can't leave it to the schools to teach the scriptures. And we shouldn't leave it to the church. Well, if I just take my kids to church, they'll get it. You know, mom, dad, grandma, and grandpa, the kids want to see Jesus in you. They want to experience, you know, we'll teach the kid how to fish or how to hunt or how to play ball or how to sew or how to cook or what. Can we not spend some time inculcating, instilling into their life what's precious about Jesus to us? It's so interesting to read about these memorial stones that they set up, and every time they would go by, they said that meant something because that was an encounter with God. Should we not be at least as committed to say to our kids and grandkids, I've had some encounters with God, and I'd like to share them with you? And the smaller the better. Because you know, parents, grandparents, certain, your kids get a certain age and you're an ignoramus. You know? And then, you know, after they get a little older, they find out you were smarter than they thought you were. You know how it goes. So if you can bring those little kids and let them know, here's something special that grandma and grandpa had with God. Those memorial markers in your life that are precious to you. And share them. And they'll start looking for them in their own life. They'll start being able to recognize them in their own life. How sad it was to read Judges and say, there came a generation that knew not the things of God. Evidently, you know, they could walk by that pile of stones there by the Jordan River and they'd say, Daddy, what's that? I don't know, looked like a pile of rocks to me. Daddy, what's that stone there under that oak tree? I don't know. I guess somebody wants to set something up and sit so they can sit in the shade. Oh, it's how sad. How sad. I like it a whole lot better. Timothy, you've got that great faith. Your mama had it and your grandmama had it. That's what we need to, we want. To have a faith that's precious to us. And it's so precious to us, we don't want to keep it to ourselves. We want to share it with others. I challenge you to just go back sometime this week and think about those special times in your life when you encountered God. Must have been important. God put them in His book. If they weren't important, God wouldn't have put them in His book. And yours are just as important as Jacob's and Joshua's and Timothy's. Because you're just as important to God as they are. He loves you just like He loved them. Now, your testimony may be different from mine. You know, when you're 8 years old, you hadn't committed adultery, you hadn't murdered anybody. Hadn't been drunk. But I needed saving just as much as somebody that had done all of those things. I was as much on my way to hell as anybody that had done all of those things. And my testimony and your testimony may be different. But each one is unique. Share it. And watch God bless it. Paul, you know, over and over, you keep reading about, you know, I was on the road to Damascus and bow, wow, bang, something happened to me. Share and watch God use your testimony to bless others. As we sing the invitation hymn, if there's a decision you need to make, that you need to share with me, would you come? If you need to come to the altar. But the real result of anything I've said today will be your remembering those special markers in your life in the days to come, and you're sharing those with those who need to hear.